You are listening to The Riding, NFL DFS Podcast with Pat James.
Welcome, everybody, to the Week 3 edition of The Riding DFS and Betting Podcast. It is Friday night, about 6:30 p.m. This probably won't post until Saturday morning, so I do apologize for the late. You know, normally this episode is out at the earliest Wednesday, at the latest Friday afternoon, but you know, life. So recording it on Friday late afternoon, early evening, posting probably maybe in the night, early Saturday morning. I will again be on Twitter Spaces this week. I did mention that I'm going to try to take questions in outer space from the people. So bring your questions if you are logging in and listening to the final thoughts and core four on Twitter. I'll preface that with saying I have no clue how to even invite someone up to speak. So that'll be trial and error. Week 3. Let's hope it's better than week 2. Let's hope it's exactly the same as week 1. Right, so through 2 weeks, we've had an absolute crush week and a week where we only hit about 38% of head-to-heads. I think this week is difficult, I'll be honest. I know who I want in like 6 or 7 spots, but there's nobody else to fill the other two. There is not a ton of value on the board like we had with Greg Dortch last week. He's still 4,300, which isn't terrible, but everything else is just, you know, I think we may have to sacrifice a player above 7K that we like to just have a more balanced lineup and not take a zero. So at quarterback, I think it's fairly simple. You have Josh Allen in Miami against a Dolphins defense that has looked good against an inept offense in the Patriots, but looked awful against a good offense in the Ravens. So I think Allen and Diggs, you know, you could just pair them up and crush. I do think that if you're going to get Steph Diggs in your lineup, who is extremely underpriced, it's a decent idea to not go in the direction of tying up 16K in a cash lineup. We always talk about that. It's just, you don't want to, 8 out of 10 times, Josh Allen and Steph Diggs will get there, right? But if it's the one time that they don't, or the 2 times I should say that they don't, you don't want to have them both. That's my philosophy on it. So I think I will be dropping down to Jalen Hurts, 7,600 against the Washington Commanders in Washington. I mean, could be a tough game, but Hurts is just, he's too good. We saw him do it in the passing game in week 2, 333 yards. Then he even tacked on 50 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns in that game. Then in week 1, he wasn't so great in the passing game, right? 243 yards, no touchdowns, but ran for 90 and a touch. And that was like his floor because, you know, Boston Scott scored, Kenny Gainwell scored. It's going to be the Jalen Hurts show. I think he's your cash game play. If you drop down a little further, I mean, there's not much that I would love in cash. I guess Marcus Mariota has looked good and he's extremely cheap in the low 5Ks. I think Kirk Cousins may be popular just because he's facing the Lions defense and they've just been carved up for 2 weeks. I don't know. In tournaments, I kind of like Matt Stafford against Arizona. I kind of like Matt Ryan as a bounce back candidate. If you read my free article on 4 for 4, you'll see that Matt Ryan, based on Sam Hoppin's expected fantasy points model, Matt Ryan is the leader in basically not cashing in on his expected fantasy points due to, you know, different variables, but he should be earning almost 9 more fantasy points a game than he is, just based on the way they use him, you know, where his passes have landed, that type of thing. So I do like Matt Ryan paired with Michael Pittman if he is a go in tournaments. Obviously, Jared Goff at 5,800, I think that game probably is the most popular game on the slate and could be a shootout. But that's pretty much it at QB. I think you're choosing between Allen, Hurts, and like Mariota is thin, but I respect it if you're going to go in that direction. Running back is tricky, right? Because we have Jonathan Taylor in a good spot at home against Kansas City, 9K. Love it. Probably going to be on a tournament team or two. McCaffrey against a quote-unquote good Saints run defense. Hasn't done much. 8,800, still too cheap. Like it. Derrick Henry, 8,100, in a good spot against the Raiders. Like it. Probably a tournament play, Derrick Henry, because I don't think he'll be very owned. And I think, like, this game has, you know, patented 180-yard, 2-touchdown Derrick Henry game written all over it. Dalvin Cook, not even 8K, 7,900 against the Lions. I think we could get Dalvin in cash. Right below him, Joe Mixon's a great play against the Jets. They are a sieve against the run, or at least they have been. So, and Mixon is getting a ton of usage, right? He has 46 carries through 2 weeks and 10 catches on 13 targets. Like, his usage is there. He didn't get there last week, but like we talked about, all those running backs that we played last week, we would play again. It was, you know, Lenny, Barkley, Mixon. They all got like 25 total opportunities, just didn't get there. Really like Joe Mixon this week. I think Lenny Fournette's probably going to be the chalk, and I think he'll be a core four play. Not because he's the chalk, but, you know, he's just in a really good spot. Depleted wide receiver core for the Bucks. Green Bay's weakness is being gashed on the ground. Like, we saw the Bears at Green Bay last Sunday night, I believe. They couldn't move the ball through the air. Every time they gave David Montgomery the ball, he gashed them for 8 yards. So I don't know why they... Then they went away from the run a little bit and just got blown out. But David Montgomery looked great against the Packers, gashed them up. I think Lenny Fournette could do the same. Speaking of Mr. Montgomery, he gets a home game against the Houston Texans, who have given up the third most fantasy points to running backs. He has been... So it was weird. Like, in week one, Khalil Herbert and him were like 60-40. Khalil Herbert got a lot of the red zone stuff. And now this week, week two against Green Bay, it was pretty much... Not all Montgomery, but... It definitely swung in his favor. At 5,900, I think you take the swing there. From there, there's just not much. I like Cordarrelle Patterson as a tournament play in Seattle, only 5,800. I think Miles Sanders is interesting. He's a really nice... I think he could be a cash play. I don't even think it's that big of a deal to play him and Hurts together. I know that's... It sounds weird, but, you know, if you think the Eagles are going to score 31, 35 points... They can both get there, especially at his salary. I don't know if I'll be able to get there or if I'll be able to stomach that, but I wouldn't be... It kind of raises your floor there a little bit because you know they're scoring, so you know somebody's got to do it. The only thing that would really crush that is if Boston Scott had like 2 touchdowns or something. But Sanders has looked pretty good, right? He's had 30 carries through 2 weeks, and he's gained 176 yards. You know, that's basically... 6 yards a clip. He does have 5 catches in 2 games as well. I think if you need a cheap running back, he's not a terrible idea. Running back is just not good after that. I guess we'll see about Josh Jacobs. obviously, if Jacobs was probably going to be not a plug and play for me, but a really, really strong consideration if he was active. You know, they were going to give him the ball. It seemed as though that they kind of succumbed to the fact that he was the best player in their backfield, and through 2 weeks, you know, it looked like he was going to be a solid play, especially at his price. He's in the mid 5Ks. They're playing Tennessee, who's, you know, not looked great against the run. Now we have four jabronis fighting for playing time. I personally picked up Zamir White in my redraft leagues, but I don't know if that is going to be the correct lottery ticket to hold. I don't know if we can play any of them in cash unless we get definitive word from, I don't know, coaches probably won't say anything, but maybe in the morning, Schefter or, I don't love trusting Rapoport, but we'll just say Schefter says, you know, he hears that Zamir White's the running back. Maybe Bolden and Amir Abdullah working on passing downs, something like that. Then maybe we can think about it. But I don't think the Raiders situation is really anything for cash at this point. I mean, if they say Jacobs flew out today, you know, he didn't travel with the team initially, but that doesn't mean he can't get there and then play. If Jacobs is playing and they're saying, like, he just, you know, he was on the shitter when the plane was leaving, so they said, we'll see you later, and he joins them on Saturday and he's good to go, get him some Pepto, and, you know, he's clogged up, ready to roll. Even if he shits his pants on the field, I don't care. As long as he's good to go and he gets all the touches, I think Jacobs is a really good play. So we'll see what happens with him. Let's move on to wide receiver. And here's where I think it's going to be tricky, because I think when I said you're going to have to leave out a player over 7K that you really like, it's tough here because, you know, Steph Diggs completely underpriced at 7,700. Kind of gets that Monday Night Football neglect in pricing where, you know, if his game happened on Sunday afternoon and he went for 150 and two, he'd be 88K, right? So I think Steph Diggs is a pretty much slot him in player this week. Amon-Ra St. Brown, I'm hesitant to, and I know that, listen, Amon-Ra is a beast, right? 8 catches in his last 6 or 7 games, just cooking. Game atmosphere, going to be great, cooking. I don't want to feel obligated to press the Amon-Ra button because he's what cost me cash last week, right? Last week was basically, did you roster Amon-Ra St. Brown or not? He was like 30% owned. There's, you know, the percentage of players that won double ups and rostered Amon-Ra St. Brown was almost 100%. Because so much of the chalk failed. So much of every position failed. It was such a crummy week. The cash line was like 118. If you rostered a 40 fantasy point Amon-Ra St. Brown, it really didn't matter too much what you did elsewhere. I don't. That's not going to be the case this week, obviously, again. However, it is a tough pill to swallow when you've loved Amon-Ra all offseason, drafted him in every redraft, and played him in week one, played him in your tournament teams in week two, and he cost you cash in week two. But nonetheless, I think he's a really good play at 7,200. I just don't know if we're going to be able to fit all these dudes in above 7K at receiver, because despite them being underpriced, there's really nothing under like 45K that I love. So it's going to be hard to get them in. And even above them, like, you got to love Cooper Kupp at 99. You have to love, I don't know if you have to love, but Devontae Adams at 84 is really nice. Like, he absolutely explodes, and then he only catches 2 passes the next week, and everybody forgets about him, and he drops in salary. Like, it's probably a tournament play there if you don't play him in cash. Tyreek Hill is still only 7,600 after an absolute smash week. Bills' secondary is all jacked up, banged up. Nobody's playing. They basically have 3 or 4 second-string players out there. I could see Hill and Waddle going apeshit again. So it's very tough to narrow down what I want to do at receiver. Ultimately, I would love to get Diggs and St. Brown in. That would probably sacrifice Joe Mixon or Dalvin Cook at the top. Or you could play one of those guys and, you know, play Marcus Mariota, which is, holy moly, not playing Jalen Hurts or Josh Allen seems like a recipe for failure. But I guess we will, on Sunday, we'll talk about it a little more, about the build a little bit more. Christian Kirk, I like 6,200. Don't care that he was raised in price. He's literally seeing all the targets. I guess last week he only saw six, but they were really high value. Two end zone targets. Got him the two touchdowns. Michael Pittman actually does look good to go, so I do like that Matt Ryan stack. I wouldn't play him in cash. I think Gabe Davis is nice leverage this week, right? Everyone's going to flock to Diggs. If Davis plays and is healthy, you could absolutely see Allen going his way a little bit more. In the 5K for receiver, Brandon Cooks sticks out. He's had over 10 targets in both games. He's definitely on track to have a big game with the usage that he's getting. So I don't mind Brandon Cooks at 5,800 for a cheap piece. Obviously, Drake London looked awesome. Rashad Bateman looked awesome. Even Allen Robinson kind of came back to where we thought he'd be. Juju's probably a good buy low this week at 55 in tournaments, that is. But we do have some guys out that I think make the slate a little bit interesting, right? Hunter Renfro, right? So Mac Hollins, maybe even that makes you lean towards Devontae a little bit in tournaments or even in cash. It looks like Keenan Allen's going to be a true question mark again, so we could potentially play Josh Palmer. Other than that, all the Bucks guys are out, so, you know, there's Breshad Perriman, there's Scotty Miller. I think that might be the key that unlocks the slate, right? Scotty Miller is 3,800. Breshad Perriman, who's also questionable, is 3,900. I think that might be one of the buttons you have to click if you're playing all these guys over 7K. I still like Curtis Samuel at 5,100. He's rising in price, but he's still, I mean, like we said last week, he was one of the first buttons I clicked in cash. I couldn't believe that people didn't click him. He was, you know, he got 15 opportunities the week before. We've seen that when he's healthy, he gets those opportunities. He earns those targets. He earns those rushes. It's really, you know, Curtis Samuel hasn't been a great fantasy player because he was either in a shit offense or he was hurt. And he's still not in a great offense, but the Commanders, oh, Jesus. Here we go with the Redskins, Commanders, football team, baloney. I'll try to make that my last mistake on the Commanders this year. But, you know, their offense is kind of clicking. Wentz looks decent, and Samuel's healthy, so I just love him at 5,100. Don't know if I'll get to him based on, you know, who I want to play above him. Even Jahan Dotson, right? He has 3 touchdowns through 2 weeks. The targets aren't there. He's only getting about 5 targets a game, but he's still only 4,600. Now comes in Chris Olave. We saw all the stats last week that, you know, he's just getting a ton of targets. They're just not converting, whether that's because Jameis can't get it in his catch radius or whatever the case. I mean, I know I watched the game. Some of the targets were, you know, Jameis just flung the ball, given the fact that he's got a broken back, right? My back is broken. Spinal. Given the fact that that's the case, he was probably just, instead of taking sacks, you could tell he was like just heaving some 5 yards out of bounds in the direction of some guys. And then they're going to count that as, you know, 40 air yards for Chris Olave, when the fact of the matter is, you know, that really wasn't intended to be caught. But nonetheless, he has seen a lot of opportunities. At 4,500, I love him as like a buy low breakout player this week. I wouldn't play him in cash. You know, those guys that you're like waiting to see it from, but they're getting the usage and you know the week is coming, those are tournament plays, not really cash plays. You want to know and see the usage from guys that are in your cash lineup. Right under him, though, is Greg Dortch, and I think that's a doable play as well. He's bumped up a few hundred to 4,300, but I mean, he has 13 targets through 2 weeks, right? He's 11 for 120 and 1 through 2 weeks, basically averaging 14 fantasy points. Nobody's back for Arizona. They're playing the Rams, so I think they'll be pushed. Kyler is just, I mean, the offenses just look bad. It's almost like a circus. Kyler's just running around, chucking it wherever. He can't see over his guys. So it's tough to trust that Greg Dortch will continue this fantasy point production, right? Because, I mean, last week he only caught 4 balls for 50 yards. The touchdown kind of saved him. Week before, like, I would rather a guy go 7 for 60 like he did the week before that rather than 4 for 50 and a touchdown, because the touchdowns are not repeatable. You know, they're not something you like to count on. I would much rather see the upwards of 10 targets and all the production come from catches and yards. But Dortch still in play in my eyes. And then it's obviously, I think, Perriman. Man, you know what? Maybe we could go to a Packers wide receiver. There's a lot of Packers doubtful or not playing. Sammy Watkins is out. I mean, could have called that. Randall Cobb. I almost called him Cobb. Randall Cobb is questionable. Somebody else is questionable as well. I think the only ones, oh, Watson's questionable. The only ones that's completely healthy is Dubs. You know, like Lazard is still, even though he played last week, I read that he's still feeling the effects, like he's still not 100%. So Matt LaFleur did say Friday that Dobbs probably is going to have to take some of the load Sunday in Tampa. I could see him as a cash play. A little thin, but it's probably between him, Scotty Miller, Breshad Perriman, and Greg Dortch, depending on the build. But that's probably going to be who we're going to have to go down. It's not, like, there's no slam dunk like Dortch at 3,500 last week or anything like that. But at least there's a little something. And if you take only like a 5-pointer from them, but Diggs and Mixon and Amonra and Lenny go off, or at least get you what they should, then you can take a 5 or a 6-point game from a 38K wide receiver. At tight end, obviously Kelsey's the top play on the slate. He's a beast. I do like Waller as some leverage off of Devontae Adams, especially since Renfro's hurt. They kind of run the same routes. Don't mind that at all. Dallas Goedert's too cheap at 4,700. Obviously, he has that same Monday night pricing neglect. You know, he looked really good last week. Caught 5 balls for 82 yards on 6 targets. I think he'd probably be in the 5K range if his game was on Sunday last week. Ertz looks really good. He's getting a good amount of usage. Higbee. So that 4K range is definitely something to look at. It might be worth, and that was one of the lessons we've learned over the last 2 weeks. I think you go all the way down to around 3K, or you go up towards the mid-4s. Because, like, it's a dead zone in this high 3K range, right? Hayden Hurst, Tyler Conklin, Robert Tonyan, Evan Engram, Cam Brate, Noah Fant. Like, I don't want any of these dudes. If you are making a lineup and you have $3,600, $3,800 left, do not slot in one of these jabronis. Find the room to get up to Higbee. I mean, maybe even Gerald Everett, who's at 4,400, or Ertz, or Goddard, or let's see who we have at the bottom. A guy like Irv Smith is back, I think, right? We played him in week 1. He had 2 targets, he was barely on the field, right? That changed in week 2. He was on the field a ton more. He ran more routes. He saw more targets. They kind of eased him in. So I think Johnny Munt is still getting some targets, but I think maybe even this week it gets ramped up a little more and we see Irv kind of play that full-time 80 to 90% role. 8 targets, 5 catches, a touchdown last week. I think Irv is the best tight end play on the slate, but Juwan Johnson is also still down there, still going to get those targets, right? He has 12 targets through 2 weeks, went 2 for 40 for 6 points, 4 for 40 for 8 points. That's doable from a guy under 3K if it gets you the studs that you want. So I do like Juwan Johnson still, but I do think it's Irv. At defense, obviously, we have the Jaguars in the same situation as we had Cooper Rush and the Bengals last week. I do think it's a little different, though, because I think the Jaguars' defense is decent. I also think Chase Daniel, being that he's a veteran, he's been around the block, he's started a game or two before. I don't think the Chargers will have as tight of a leash as I thought they would on Cooper Kupp in Dallas, right? The whole reason that I didn't think the Bengals against Cooper Kupp was a play is because I thought, you know what, they're going to pound Zeke. They're going to run Tony Pollard a little bit. They're going to give Cooper Rush some easy slants and easy reads, and they're not going to put him in a situation to turn the ball over 5 times. And that's exactly what happened, right? He still looked pretty good. He threw for 240 yards. They got the win. That is exactly what happened. Right, we don't want games just because a backup quarterback's in. That doesn't matter. Right? If a team scores 1 touchdown, you go from 10 points to 4 in a defense. So, unless you can bank on a shutout, which is virtually impossible, it's not worth just looking for the team that you think is going to score the lowest amount of points. We want bad offensive lines that are going to give up sacks. We want bad quarterbacks who are going to be slinging the ball and turning it over. And that wasn't Cooper Rush last week. This week, I think it's different. I think they'll let Chase Daniel throw the ball a little bit, so I don't mind. The Jaguars at 2,300. Up from there, I think the Jets, man, the Bengals' offensive line has not looked great. Burrow's turning the ball over. Their offense doesn't look good. I think the Jets could do some damage as a tournament play. The Texans against Justin Field, that's another one where I don't think there's just not going to be enough passing for that to matter. Carolina against Jameis at 26 is nice. And that's about it for cash. I don't want to go too much higher for cash. I do like the Rams against Kyler at 34 as a differentiating option. And then that's about it. I guess the Packers could really do some damage against Tampa, right? Because they'll still let Brady throw the ball, but he's got no one to throw to. He's a statue, right? If the ball is in his hands when someone breaks through the line of scrimmage, he usually just folds for a sack. I kind of like the Packers at 2,800. That'll do it. The core four as of right now. Lenny Fournette will be in my lineup. I want to say David Montgomery will be in my lineup. That one's tentative, but that's what I'm going to leave you with. He's a core four play as of right now. Jalen Hurts is a core four play as of right now. We'll finalize the thoughts. We'll finalize the core four on Sunday. Hope you guys have an enjoyable rest of your, I'm guessing you're going to hear this Saturday morning, rest of your Saturday. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Not sure what time yet. I don't have any plans, right? Not golfing. Hopefully nobody's puking. So I think we might be able to do it a little closer to lock, like 10:30, 11, so that we know a little bit more. More people are up. More people are in the chat. Probably competing against the CBSs and Yahoos of the outer space. But it doesn't matter. We're getting our 300-500 people in there, or listening at least. That's all we care about. All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow, guys. See ya.